My name's Tony. If you're new to church and just new around our church family, and I'm going to take a few moments to speak to us today. Can you believe the Christmas season is here? That is so crazy. Here we are. The trees are up. The lights are on. And the bling is out. And it's wonderful. Who loves Christmas? I think we all kind of do. I know it's a challenging season for different people for different reasons. You know, going through the season, we certainly want to celebrate and cheer on all things Christmas, but we're mindful that some people do it a little bit tough over the Christmas time. We just want to look after you and celebrate every weekend all things Jesus. We've got a lot going on as a church over the Christmas season. Please make sure you've got it in your diary so you're not forgetting what we're doing. December 18 is a big day here in church with the Christmas lunch here. And then 5 p.m. that afternoon, the community barbecue carols and everything that we're doing there that we'd love you to be involved with. I love everything that we do over the Christmas season. I'm so proud of our church for what we do with Angel Tree and all the gifts that we give to the kids who have mums that are and dads that are incarcerated, and we just want to make it a happy time for kids is what we want to do, and also food to give out for hampers. So thank you for onboarding with that. Why don't you say thank you to your neighbor right now? Thank you for what you do over that period. If you're traveling, if you're on the move, like a lot of people are over the next few weeks, I know Carl and Jenny and Melissa Bayer are off. They're off to the United States this week. I think they're off to the States till about mid-January to catch up with their daughter Samantha, who's studying over there, and others in church life that will be on the move. God bless you, and safe travels, and have a Merry Christmas wherever you are. And of course, you can tune in online. How good is online? It's so good when you're away just to be able to tune into your church family and be involved in what we're doing. Speaking of online, we're online, as Josh and Renee reminded us, we're online for Christmas Day. So it's an online service only Christmas Day, and also on the 1st of January. So if you turn up here on Christmas Day, or you turn up here on the 1st of January, you will be the only one. You'll be the only one here. It will be online, pre-recorded, the services for those days, just to give people some space over the Christmas period and for the start of the new year to be with family. Everyone say, behold. Behold. Behold is our theme for this Christmas season, and more particularly, behold the King. Behold the King. Let me give a reading today from the book of Luke, the Christmas story. Luke chapter 26, chapter 1, verse 26, right through to verse 37. It says, God sent an angel, Gabriel, to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin, pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you. Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. She was a little bit concerned, a little bit worried. It's not every day you have an angel turn up. Come on. It's not every day an angel appears to you. And here she has Gabriel, one of the archangels, comes and appears to her. She's a little bit disturbed, to say the least, about what the message was going to be. But the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. It's starting to get problematic for Mary right now. It's starting to be a bit of an issue right now, because she's not even married yet. She's betrothed. She's promised to a man named Joseph, but there's no relationship going on at this point in time. And then this is the message. The angel says, the son, he will be great. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever, and his kingdom. Everyone say kingdom. His kingdom. This is the message that Gabriel was bringing to Mary. You're going to have a son. His name will be called Jesus. He will be great. He will be great. Every mother thinks that. Every mother, when they look at their baby, they think, well, it's going to be great. Mary was told, your son will be great. He will be great, and he will be given the throne of his father, his forefather, David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants, the Jews, for his kingdom will never end. How will this be, Mary asked the angel, since I'm a virgin? How is this going to happen? How am I going to have a son? Because I am a virgin. And the angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And so the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. So not only your son, Mary, but he will be the Son of God. He will be the Son of God, birth of the Holy Spirit. And then verse 37, for with God, nothing shall be impossible. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. I love that verse. I grew up in a church that had that verse written behind the stage here, before the days of screens and lights and everything. Who remembers the days when churches didn't have screens and churches didn't have lights and all the stuff that we have now? We just had kind of walls, and we used to have a verse written behind the wall, and it said, for with God nothing shall be impossible. What a great thought and theme to grow up with. And this was part of the announcement that the angel made to Mary, that although you're a little bit disturbed, Mary, although you're a little bit concerned and a little worried because you've not been with any man, with God nothing shall be impossible. And so the seed that will be in you will be of the Holy Spirit, and your son, he shall be great. He will be unique. He's a ruler. There's greatness in him. There's governance on him. And he is coming for his kingdom. You know, heaven really didn't want Mary to miss this moment and to underestimate the significance, the hugeness of this moment, that the announcement that was being made to her of a son being born who would be a ruler of a never-ending kingdom. You know, Christmas is much more than a baby being born. It's much more than the story of Jesus coming in a manger. It is that, but there's much more to it than that. Christmas is about a king coming to establish his kingdom. It's about a king coming to establish his kingdom. It's about Jesus coming to earth in the form of a baby, but the announcement was he'll be great. And of his kingdom, there will be no end. It's about Jesus coming on a secret mission to reclaim earth, to reclaim man, to reclaim humanity, to reclaim everything that was created for the plan and the purpose of God. One of the things that I particularly love about Christmas is all the carols and the songs, the Christmas songs that we sing. We started with one this morning, Joy to the World. And what a beautiful carol and Christmas song that is. A lot of the Christmas carols and Christmas songs, they reference and proclaim the fact that Jesus is King. They have that in their lyrics, in their wording. For instance, Hark the Herald Angel Sings. Hark the Herald Angel Sings. Glory to the what? The newborn King. Did I say hairy angels then? I think I did. Hark the herald angels sing. Glory to the newborn King. Joy to the World is one of those carols. It's one of those carols that speaks of the kingship of Jesus. This may surprise you, but Joy to the World is not actually a Christmas carol. It's not actually a Christmas carol. It's not even a Christmas song. It's a song that kind of accidentally fell into the grouping of Christmas songs and Christmas carols along the way. But the original version and the original intent of joy to the world was totally different for what we use it for today. Joy to the world is actually a song that was written to be sung all year around. All year around. It was a song designed to speak of the greatness and the majesty of Jesus, not in his baby form, but in the fulfillment of his kingly form. It was originally called the Messiah's Coming and Kingdom. That was the original title. The Messiah's Coming and Kingdom. It was written by Isaac Watts in 1719, an English minister. And instead of celebrating the birth of Jesus like many hymns do, this carol celebrates the fulfillment and the return of Jesus Christ into our world as that ever reigning King that will make all things right, that will make all things perfect, and that's why it's joy to the world. Let everyone sing. Heaven and nature sing. It celebrates the triumphant return of Christ, and it's a song of praise, a song of praise for the returning King. Isaac Watts, it says, was inspired by this psalm, Psalm 98, when he wrote this song that we now sing as a carol. Psalm 98 says this: "Sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have worked salvation for him. The Lord has made his salvation known and reveals his righteousness to the nations." This is a psalm speaking of the end times, of the return of Jesus, when salvation is in its fullness and it's revealed in all of its glory and righteousness to all of the nations. Psalm 98 says, "He has remembered his love and his faithfulness to Israel, and all the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God." When will they see the fullness of our salvation that God has for us? At the end of time. This is what the psalmist is writing about. So he says, "Shout to the Lord, all the earth, break out in praise and sing for joy. Sing your praise to the Lord with the harp and the melodious song, with trumpets and the sound of the ram's horn. Make a joyful symphony before the Lord," who? The King. "Before the Lord, the King." You know, this psalm that Isaac Watts lent into and was inspired to write this carol from is all about the end times and the return of Jesus. It's about the kingdom of God. And that's what joy to the world is all about. It's about a king, and it's about his kingdom that is coming to this earth. And what I want to do throughout this Christmas season and month is to elevate the truth and the thought of the kingdom of God in our minds. The kingdom of God is such a powerful thought throughout the scriptures. It's the dominant message that Jesus came to bring. It's the dominant thought that he spoke about. Whenever he spoke, he referenced the kingdom of God. He came to teach us about the kingdom's ways, the kingdom's methods. Jesus said this in his most famous sermon. He said it somewhere. Jesus said in his most famous sermon, Matthew 6 on the Mount, the Sermon on the Mount, he said this: "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things that you need in daily life will be added unto you." What did he say to do? Seek first the kingdom. Put the kingdom as your number one priority concern. Do you know, the truth is, in today's modern, technological, advanced world, many believers know Jesus as, and many people know Jesus as, a baby born in a manger and celebrate Christmas. Many know Jesus as the resurrected Lord and the whole Easter story of the cross and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But the concept of kingdom is a concept that needs expanding in our understanding. It needs elevation in our teaching and understanding of the King and his kingdom that he wants to bring and is bringing to this earth. So behold the King. For me, this theme is a call to elevate the truth of God's kingdom. We are called to elevate and behold the King and the kingdom of God. So joy to the world. Look at the lyrics. Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room, and heaven and nature sing, heaven and nature sing, heaven and nature sing. I've got a question for you today about the kingdom of God. And that question is this, has the kingdom of God come, or is the kingdom of God still coming? Has the kingdom of God come when Jesus came and was born in Bethlehem, or is the kingdom of God still coming? Did the kingdom come when Jesus came to earth, or is it coming to earth still? Is it something that we are praying to come, or is it something that has already arrived? They're good questions. And the answer is both. So we're all right. The answer is both. The kingdom has come, and the kingdom is still coming. It came initially, but it's not come completely. It's came, and that's what a baby is. A baby comes initially, but then grows into a fully formed, mature being. How many people still look exactly the same as when you were a baby? And have the same amount of knowledge and the same amount of understanding. How many people are still wearing the same clothes that you used to wear when you were a baby? Of course not. That would be just so wrong, wouldn't it? It'd be so wrong for you to come to church today in a nappy. It'd be so wrong for you to have a dummy in your mouth today. It'd be so wrong to have somebody hold you when you're a fully formed adult sitting there holding you in church today. In general, that would be wrong for that to happen. You've developed, you changed. Now, you did come initially, but then the completeness of that takes some time to unpack. It's the same with the kingdom of God. It came when Jesus was born in a manger and we welcomed the King. But the status of that King was matured before our eyes. We see in the scriptures him growing up. We see him going to the cross. We see him overcoming death and being raised again on the third day. We see him in his power and glory. Now we see him in the heavenlies, elevated, his name being above every other name. One day we will see him as Psalm 98 and Joy to the World refers to. We'll see him as our coming King in all of the fullness of his glory, and all the nations will bow before him. And here Isaac Watts says, let every heart prepare him room. Let every heart, do you know what this era of our history is all about? It's about allowing every heart to prepare room for Jesus. It's about allowing every heart to prepare room for Jesus. And the Bible says God is patient and he's not rushing to come back because of his kindness. He's giving people time to get their hearts right, to get their hearts open towards him, for every heart to make room for him. And so the kingdom of God has come and is continuing to come. Whenever we behold the King, whenever we live by his word, whenever we apply his ways and his values, his custom and his culture to our lives, we begin to experience kingdom life. We begin to experience kingdom living. We used to sing a song like that many years ago in church that says, I found a new way of living. I found a new life. Anyone remember it? I found a new life divine. I have the fruit of the Spirit. I'm abiding in the vine. It speaks of kingdom living. It speaks of kingdom life. You know, church, we have the amazing privilege of being a part of God's family, of being a part of God's kingdom, and where we come together and we love God, we worship God, we honor God, we serve God, we give to God, we live by his word, and we adopt his ways. And whenever we do that, and whenever we encourage others to do it and invite others to do it, we're expanding the influence of God's kingdom here on earth. Behold the King is an invitation to experience kingdom life. Joy to the World speaks about this kingdom life. The next verse is, joy to the world, the Savior reigns. Let men their songs employ. While fields and floods, rocks, hills and plains, repeat the sounding joy, repeat the sounding joy. No more let sins and sorrows grow, nor thorns infest the ground. Now, some of you haven't heard this verse because we don't sing this verse today. But Watts wrote this. He said, no more sins and sorrows grow, nor thorns infest the ground. He comes to make his blessings flow. For as the curse, far as the curse is found, far as the curse is found. Why did this king come to earth? He came to earth to save men from their sorrows. He came to earth to save us from our sins. He came to redeem us. He came to restore us. But ultimately, he came to reverse the curse of what sin had done to our world and to us. It's redemption for us, and it's redemption for all of nature. And he came that we might live in his blessings and that his blessings might flow. I want you to understand that God's blessings and the concept of God's blessings is not the idea of some prosperity preacher in our modern day world. It was always a part of the plan of God for us to live under the blessing of the King, for us to live in the kingdom and enjoy the provision and the protection of our King. That's what Isaac Watts had a deep conviction of and a deep conviction about. He understood what kingdom meant, and he understood that this king wanted to bring his blessings to all of humanity. It's always been the intention of God for us to live under the authority and the rule and the influence of his kingdom. And all of the brokenness that, you know, we feel in our world, and we all feel it, we all see it, it's around us, it's within us. That brokenness that we see in all of humanity is what God wants to reverse. God wants to restore the fullness of life that is found only in him. And that comes through what you behold. What you behold in front of you, what is your continual vision, is what builds your future belief and your future hope. It's what you behold. This was the announcement that the angel came to Mary so that she would behold what was being given to her as not just being another baby, not an ordinary baby. There was something of greatness about this baby that would make life different, not only for her, but for everybody in the village, and beyond the village, everybody in the nation, and beyond the nation, everybody throughout the earth for all time. You know, God's kingdom is, it's his way of doing things. And I want to suggest to you today that the King's way of doing things is the best way. It's the better way. And it blesses everything in our lives. I did a series of sermons some while ago around the whole concept of kingdomology versus humanology. Humanology we're well versed in. We know what humanology is. That's the culture of our world. That's the pattern of our world. That's the ways of our world, the customs of our world. God's kingdom kind of turns all that on its head. God's kingdom comes with contrary thought for the way we're to treat each other. God's kingdom talks about forgiving those that grieve you, forgiving those that hurt you, loving your enemies. God's kingdom talks about the reverse of what our human heart often wants to do in terms of the attitudes that we have with or of other people, because God's kingdom comes to reverse. Paul says it here in Romans 12. He says, stop imitating the ideals and the opinions of the culture around you, but be inwardly transformed by the Holy Spirit through a total reformation of how you think. This will empower you to discern God's will as you live a beautiful life. Anyone in the room want to live a beautiful life? It's our choice, the life we live. And here Paul says you can live a beautiful life, satisfying and perfect in God's eyes if you adopt kingdom culture, kingdom way, kingdom custom, as opposed to the ideals and the opinions of this world. You see, our concern as a church is not political correctness, because our world has gone crazy. Have you noticed that? Have you noticed how accelerated the craziness in the world has become in the last few years? Since COVID hit, and the re-identifying of so much that we understood as being natural in our world is no longer natural. Everything is being re-identified now in our world. And if ever this verse was true, it's so true for us right now. Not to be influenced by the opinions and ideals of the culture around us, but to be inwardly transformed by the Holy Spirit, who will change the way that you think to kingdom culture. Because God wants us to think differently, God wants us to be different, and God wants us to behave differently from the influences of humanology, of the way our world does life. Because this king came to bring change. Isaiah the prophet saw it, and he said it. He said, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he'll be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." And of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. This prophet Isaiah, he wrote what he saw and what he was sensing about the future for our world, of a baby coming that would be born. There is so much prophecy in the Old Testament about the coming of Jesus into our world, being born in Bethlehem, that a ruler would come from that little town of Bethlehem, of course speaking about the birth and the arrival of King Jesus. And here this prophet says, the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He speaks about Jesus bringing a government, a sense of kingdom and kingly rule into our world, a government and peace that will go on forever and ever and ever. Once this kingdom comes, and it did start to come when Jesus was born, it will never stop coming. It will keep increasing. Nothing can stop the increase of the kingdom of God. They tried it from day one. Herod tried to murder Jesus. When he discovered that the wise men came for and followed a star for 2 years because they believed that a new king had been born for the Jews, he wanted that king murdered. And so he had every male toddler under 2 years of age murdered because he was trying to kill off the plan and the purpose of God. But he couldn't do it. He couldn't do it. It's been attempted time and time again to kill off the influence of the kingdom of God through decisions, through ideals, through opinions, through doctrines, through culture. But the kingdom of God, the Bible says, of its governance there will be no end. It's an ever-increasing kingdom. For us today, to behold the king is to embrace the king's ways. To embrace the king's ways. Here's what the Bible says about the king's ways. He says, my thoughts, God says, my thoughts are nothing like your thoughts. My ways are far beyond anything you could imagine. For just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. Here's my closing thoughts. You know, in these days that we live, and I personally think we're in the last days, that could go on for a long, long time, but I think we're in the last days. In these last days, I think the darkness is going to get darker and darker, and lightness will get lighter and lighter. In other words, the contrast between the two will be really obvious. Sin will increase, is what the Bible says. It will increase. Wickedness will increase. It will advance dramatically. But so will the light. So will the light. You know, the light is so much brighter the darker it is. It really is. I don't know when the last time was that you went out into the bush and got away from all the towns and all the cities and all the diffused light, and you stood out there and just looked up into the sky and how bright the stars look. How bright the lights look when the lights go down low. Can we put our lights down low? How bright this all looks. Bring our lights down low, guys. See, the light's always been there. the darker it gets. Don't be overly focused on how dark it's getting. Behold the King. Behold His kingdom. Behold His way. And be lights. Be the light of the world. You know, you can either get upset about how dark it's getting and fight that battle and preach that message, or you can preach the message about the light. I want to preach the light. I like the light. I'm drawn to the light. I'm like a fly. Drawn to the light. The light is pretty. The light is beautiful. The light is attractive. There's nothing attractive about attacking. But there is something very attractive about promoting and beholding and uplifting and elevating something that's good and positive in our world. You know, when it comes to politics, no one likes a politician that's always attacking, and it's negative. What we want is a politician that comes with vision, with a dream, empowered to bring change and life to a nation. Jesus didn't come to just criticize everything. He came to shine the light of His kingdom. And He said to every one of us, now you are the light of the world. Let your light shine. Don't hide it. You know, Christmas is just such an amazing time just to let your light shine. Family and friends and people around your world and your workplace, just to be nice. Just to slow down and just to smile and just to say thank you and just to give a little gift, cook a little cake, give someone some of your time. You let your light shine when you do that. Because so many people at Christmas, with all the buzz and all the heightened celebration that goes on, they don't have anybody to celebrate with. They have nobody to notice them. And they certainly have nobody to give them a gift. And you might be that one who has the opportunity to let your light shine. Our King has come to set people free from the curse of what's going on in this world and the curse of what happens in these end times. The last verses of this song, Joy to the World, says, He rules the world with truth and grace. You know, the Bible says in John 1:17 that the law came through Moses, but truth and grace came with Jesus Christ. Truth and grace. He came with that message, truth and grace. This is the beauty of the kingdom of God. He will confront you with His truth, but He will embrace you with His grace. And God's truth is hurtful sometimes. It's hard. It's harsh sometimes. Like, it calls all of us to repentance because we're all sinners. It puts us all on that same level playing field. That's a harsh reality for some people, to know that God considers all of us as sinners who need redemption by His grace. So He just doesn't tell us where we fall short. He embraces to lift us up to where we need to be. You know, God's truth comes to us about our attitude sometimes, about our posture sometimes, about our thoughts sometimes. Don't get offended when you're confronted by the truth of God, because the truth of God is always there with the grace of God to embrace you. Jesus came full of truth and grace, the glories of His righteousness and the wonders of His love. Joy to the world, the Lord has come. Let earth receive a King. Let every heart prepare Him room. Let heaven and nature sing. God's kingdom is simply God's way of doing things. God's kingdom is simply God's way of doing things. The angel announced to Mary and showed us right from day one that God's way of doing things is different. Because He said to Mary, you're going to have a child, but it won't be a child by a man. It'll be a child by the Holy Spirit. The angel spoke to her concern and her worry and her disturbance and wanted her to understand that what was going to happen was not magical, but it was heavenly. It wasn't magical. It was heavenly. It was divine. A divine child. A child that would pave the way to restore our world. In a way that it would influence how we treat each other, how we view each other, how we view ourselves, how we consider ourselves, and how we engage and behave with our planet. They're all important issues. For every human being, the most important issue we battle is our own identity, our self-identity, who we are. And then secondly, how we treat other people, how we look after other people. And then thirdly, what we do with our planet. What we do with our planet. We should be concerned about all of those things. All of those things. And it's only in God's kingdom that sense is made of all of that. We can't look to our politicians to redeem our planet because they won't. They'll talk about it, but they won't action a great deal about it. We need an army of people to do that. An army of people that appreciate our planet as a gift given from God. But not only is our nature that, so are the people around you. The people in this room are a gift from God for you. The people in your community that you work with, that you live around, they're a gift from God for you. And throughout this Christmas period, let's look after the gift that God has given for every one of us. Would you stand? I want to pray for you today as we launch into our Christmas season. I want to pray that God will help you to navigate the season well. I want to pray that God will help you to just let your light shine throughout this season. And for you to understand the greatness of this child, Jesus, who was to become and to be our King, and who is our soon returning King, coming in all of his glory to fulfill the ultimate plan of God for us and our planet. Father, we thank you today for Christmas. We love this time of year. We love the sound. We love the food. We love the celebration. We love, Lord, the connectedness and community of what Christmas means for us. And we celebrate this because this is the life that you plan for us to have and for us to live, a life that is joyful. And it is joy to the world, Father. And heaven and nature do want to sing. And Father, we want to celebrate today as we begin our Christmas series of services, the greatness of God, the greatness of the child, and we want to behold our King today. Bless every individual, every family as we go through our Christmas season together, Father. Help it to be a great time of celebrating Jesus Christ as King of the world. And Lord, our declaration is joy to the world. Thank you.